He dreamed that a wolf come into the camp and it had a white cloth on its head and a lot of spots of blood on it. And he told his people, says, Black Kettle will stay with his people, but the enemy will come and many squaw and papoose will be killed. But Black Kettle will stay with his people. And he sent his squaw out and his children and see his nephews and part of his children identified his bones and his body by the ornaments that they found with it and part of his teeth whenever he was dug up or washed up rather by the river.
When his bones were washed up mm-hmm. in the flood. When was this that they found the bones?
1934. Fourth day of April was when the flood came.
Do you think he prophesied the flood?
Well, he just meant that something terrible would happen, and he knew the white people was doing him wrong, you see, was going to do him wrong, and he said the Great Spirit had warned him of this. And then, of course, the Indians warned us the flood was coming, and they moved out of the camp. They camped between Hammond and Cheyenne.
And they warned the white people that the flood was coming?
And we wouldn't move out. We didn't pay them any attention. And the wealthiest land and cattlemen, you see, there is, they have their big ranches up and down this Washita River on Cheyenne, by Cheyenne. And it was them that suffered the most because the river overflowed and it was terrible. The amount of cattle that was killed there and was drowned. And not only cattle, it was a lot of the people was washed away and killed. One of my neighbors, Mr. Adams, lost his wife and five daughters in the flood that washed the home away. And it just seemed to me like that if we had paid attention to those Indians, why, it might have helped us out a little. They was close skin after all.
How long did it take you to get to California?
Oh, my. That would be terrible. We had breakdowns and everything else. We were so tired, I don't know. But we came out and we got brought in Arizona and we worked there a while and we just gradually worked our way through. We finally got here and we heard that there was work here and so far we've had quite a bit of work. Well, anyhow, we have much more help than we ever had in Oklahoma.
It's not like farming back then, was it?
No, I guess the heart's sick and homesick for a little home alone. I don't know what to do. But anyhow, I'm gonna make the best of it.
Yeah.
Well, what was the other little poem you had? Mrs. Robinson, did you have another little one about the...
Oh. It's over there, I believe, isn't it?
Isn't it? I thought I gave it.
That little short one?
Yes.
That kind of short one. Oh, here it is.
Yeah. Did you read that?
Why we go to California. Here comes the dust storm, watch the sky turn blue. You'd better get out or it'll smother you. Here is the grasshopper, he comes a-jumping high. He jumps across the states and never bats an eye. Here comes the river, it surely knows its stuff. It takes home and cattle and leaves the people feeling tough. California, California, here I come too. With a coffee pot and skillet, I'm coming to you. Nothing's left in Oklahoma for us to eat or do. There's apples, nuts, and oranges, and Santa Claus is real. Come on to California, eat and eat to your fill.
When did you write that one?
I wrote it here some time back. I've wrote things this way ever since I was about 8 years old. I have a number of just little things. I've always wished I could have went on to school because I believe I could have done something if I'd have been had an education. Anyhow, my mind always runs silly and I write those things.
I think it's silly.